Christ is risen, hallelujah, risen our victorious head. Sing his praises, hallelujah, Christ is risen from the dead. Like, wow. Remember that from last week? We are in the season of Easter, and God is guiding us with his Holy Spirit as we come and as we go. Our comings and our goings, our journeys, our departures and our arrivals, our beginnings and our endings. All of our scripture lessons for tonight focus on comings and goings. Gerhard Frost was a Lutheran pastor and a poet, and one of his poems that has stuck in my memory contains the following words. I visited with a friend today. He's 85, travels light, a wise and wonderful man. We spoke of many things, small talk, big talk, and then he said, yes, for most of our comings and goings, maps are okay. But for the big trip, we still follow the star. The Star of Bethlehem, the bright morning star. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the arrival and the departure, the coming and the going. Jesus said, I am the root of David and the descendant of David. The psalmist proclaims, David's son is David's Lord. The great I am. All of our scripture readings for tonight talk about coming and going, departures and arrivals. Sometimes we don't know whether we're coming or going because we get so busy. We kind of forget, now, what was I about to do? Coming or going? Departures and arrivals. Recently, my wife and I traveled to see our son and his family out in Connecticut, which meant that we had to depart from our house and arrive at the Rochester Airport, depart from the Rochester Airport and arrive in the Twin Cities, depart from the Twin Cities and arrive out in Hartford, Connecticut, spend a week with our son and his family. And then depart from Connecticut and arrive in Detroit, and depart from Detroit and arrive in the Twin Cities, and depart from the Twin Cities and arrive back in Rochester. So what was our destination? Connecticut? Rochester? Home? And what is home for you? A location? An address? Or the great I am, Jesus Christ. Departures, arrivals, comings and goings. For most of our comings and goings, maps are okay. But for the big trip, we still follow the star. Jesus says, I am the bright morning star, the light that shines in the deepest darkness, giving encouragement and hope, even when God's people are assaulted by the powers of darkness and sin and evil. In our lessons for tonight, we see in the book of Acts the departure of Jesus, his ascension, but also his arrival back into the presence of the Father. And the promise that with his departure will come the arrival of that power of the Holy Spirit, the mighty rushing wind of Pentecost. With the departure of Judas comes the replacement or the arrival of the 12th apostle. It was necessary that Scripture be fulfilled. The psalmist said, "Let another take his place." And so they prayed and prayed and prayed with one accord, they prayed together for the discernment of God's will. And the lot fell on Matthias. In the book of Revelation, in chapters 21 and 22, we get this beautiful picture of heaven, the new city Jerusalem, the bride and wife of the Lamb. It blows our minds away. Like, wow, we can't even wrap our heads around what's going on here. I learned this past week that a light year is like 6 trillion miles, and that it's like 168,000 miles, I think, around the earth. Just imagine how many times you'd have to go around the earth. And John is trying to describe the beauty of heaven that is coming. The new Jerusalem coming down from the heavens. And then says, and we are the bride, the new city, the wife of the Lamb. An amazing picture. You heard tonight chapter 22 read about how this river of life and this tree of life are coming out from the throne and giving life to everyone and everything. The leaves are for the healing of the nations. Jesus has left. John is exiled on the island of Patmos. Christians in those congregations in Asia Minor are suffering persecution for the faith that they have in Jesus, refusing to bow down to Caesar and saying that Jesus is Lord. They need encouragement. They need perseverance. They need a message that will give them hope and endurance. And Revelation does precisely that. Jesus says, behold, I am coming soon. But it's been 2,000 years. And the Bible says that 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord. So what exactly is soon? And then in John's gospel, we've got the farewell discourse, chapters 13 through 17. Jesus is spending a considerable amount of time saying goodbye, farewell, auf Wiedersehen. He begins by washing the feet of the disciples on the night in which he's betrayed. He gives a new commandment, love one another as I've loved you. And because he knows that the disciples are troubled, he gives them words of comfort and promise and hope. I will not leave you orphaned, he says. I'm going to send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 17, that's called Jesus' prayer for the church, his high priestly prayer. He prays for himself that he might be faithful to the Father's will. He prays for his disciples that they might be one as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. And then in our lesson for tonight, Jesus prays for those who will come to believe in him, who aren't even born yet, but will come to faith because of the witness and testimony of the church. Comings and goings, departures and arrivals. In our first reading, a decision has to be made. And my guess is you face some of those hard choices in life too. Do I do this or do I do this? Because this or this are both good options and choices, aren't they? And what do you do in that discernment process? Well, I'm guessing that like the early church, you pray and you ask your friends to pray with you and to pray for you. My guess is that you maybe put a piece of paper down and you say, well, what are the pros and the cons? You know, what's the upsides? What's the downsides? And you weigh it. But what do you do when you've consulted other people and you've weighed it, and in the balance you've got Joseph and Matthias, who were both exemplary, outstanding, who had been with the Jesus movement from the time Jesus was baptized until the time that he ascended. They weren't fair weather. They didn't come and go. They were there for the whole time while they prayed. And they prayed and they prayed, and the casting of lots is found 70 times in the Old Testament and 7 times in the New Testament. But it wasn't just about haphazard or luck or chance. They really believed that when they came to an impasse and they weren't able to hear, "What is it, Lord, that you will? What is it that you want to have happen?" They said, "Lord, we're going to flip a coin. We're going to draw straws. We're going to cast lots. And we're going to pray that in and through this, your will be done." And so they did. I remember when I was in my first parish in Lake Lillian, right out of seminary. We'd been there for 5 years, and all of a sudden I got a phone call asking me to interview in Little Falls. Well, we didn't have any need or desire to leave. We had 3 children, and they were all 5 and under, or 6 and under. I mean, Joshua was just in the process with kindergarten. So what do you do? Well, we prayed about it, we talked about it, we considered it, and eventually we decided that, well, let's go and interview, let's see what God has in mind. And so we did, and then we were extended the call. And then we were discerning and announcing it to the congregation and saying, pray for us, pray with us about this, because we're really torn. What do you do when you have 2 really good choices? Well, eventually then, I had consulted my daughters, and one of my daughters had said, "You know, Dad, if we leave, I'm going to be really sad because I'll lose all my friends. But we'll make new friends in the new church, and that'll be good too." Comings and goings, departures and arrivals. And so we prayed and hoped that we were doing what God wanted us to do and said yes to the call. One guy named Harvey McLean, he said, "You know, Pastor," he's about 85 years old, he says, "there's some people that are kind of upset about you leaving, but I told them, I said, he's young, he's got a young family, he's got to climb up the ladder, he's got to advance himself, this will be good for his career." I said, "Really?" I said, "That's what you told them?" I said, "It's not really that simple, Harvey. In fact, when we went to Little Falls, we couldn't find a place to live. We were living in the basement of a house with 3 kids in the same bedroom. And in the first year that we were there, we had to cash in an insurance policy and we lost $5,000. Did we make like a huge mistake? We ended up being there for 17 years. I believe God wanted us to be there. And then all of a sudden we got the call to go out and interview in Tacoma. My wife had said, "You know, we're never going there." But we interviewed, and Rachel said, "I don't want you moving out here." And I said, "Well, we're not going to leave this in your hands, Rachel. This is way bigger than what you want. We're going to try to figure out what God wants." And so we prayed and prayed and we weighed and we talked about the pros and the cons and eventually then felt that God was calling us to go there. And then leaving Tacoma and coming to Rochester. The day that we were about to finish packing up and leaving for Tacoma, the council member of the church out there called, and he said, "I thought I should let you know that we just fired the office manager." Well, one of the reasons we had said yes to the call is she had put together this phenomenal website, and I was looking forward to working and doing ministry with her. I remember my wife saying, "I hope we're not making the biggest mistake of our lives." How do you know? I mean, I don't think that we're the only ones that have faced some of these hard choices and decisions. Am I right in assuming that you too have wrestled with hard choices in life? And so we consult those who are part of the body of Christ. And we weigh it. And we pray and pray and pray. A friend of mine said to me, "How have you known, Pastor Dave, when you were supposed to leave and go somewhere else? Depart and arrive." I said, "You know what? I've gotten to the point where I don't know for sure. But here's the peace that God has given me, and I hope he's given you this peace too. The word that God spoke to my heart was, David, don't you know that I can use you wherever you are to bring glory to my name and to further my kingdom? So, I mean, I believe with all my heart that God wanted me in Lake Lillian, wanted me in Little Falls, wanted me in Tacoma, wants me here in Rochester. But all we can do is pray about that and discern and hope, as the early church did, that we are in alignment with the will of God. Comings and goings. For most of those comings and goings, maps were okay. But for the big trip, we still follow the star, the bright morning star. In the book of Revelation, I've noticed that a lot of the pericopes or the church lectionaries leave out certain verses. And what they do is they leave out some of the hard words. But tonight we gave you all the words because we trust the Spirit. We trust that the Spirit is going to work God's word in your heart and in your ears to create faith and nurture faith. What do we learn about comings and goings from the book of Revelation? Well, we learn that John, exiled on the island of Patmos, is given a tremendous word of encouragement and hope. And he's supposed to pass that word on to the congregations of Asia Minor. In fact, Revelation was read publicly in its entirety, all 22 chapters, in a service of worship as a preface to the Eucharist. That's why at the very end of Revelation, chapter 22, you hear the word Maranatha. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. You're going to hear it in our communion liturgy tonight. It's been in the communion liturgy for 2,000 years. When you hear the revelation of Jesus Christ, God wins, Satan, evil, the devil lose. Don't lose hope. Don't be marked with the beast. You've been marked with the cross of Jesus Christ. Don't seal these words up. People need to hear the word. Don't add or subtract to the prophecy. If you add to it, woe to the revisionist. If you add to it or subtract from it, God will add to you the plagues described in the book. God will subtract from you, take away the tree of life and the new city. You see why they leave those verses out in a lot of churches' lectionaries? They don't want you to hear that the revelation is read publicly in worship so that people can be prepared for the Lord's Supper, that they can hear Jesus say, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And those who hear say, come. Those who are thirsty, come. Drink without payment or price. I am for you, Jesus said, for the forgiveness of your sins in the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus for you. He who says these things says, surely I am coming soon. And we say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The very last verse of Revelation, the very last verse in the Bible is this. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. A means of grace. A table of grace for sinners. And did you know that 2,000 years ago, Jesus was already praying for your faith? for those that would come to believe through the testimony of the apostles. I read on the internet yesterday a story about a woman by the name of Rima Faki, Miss USA 2010, from Michigan, went to a Catholic parochial school, but she was a Shia Muslim. She said, "We watched Miracle on 34th Street. We had a Christmas tree. We didn't really take any religion seriously in our growing up. But when I went to college, University of Michigan, there was a huge population of Muslims there, and my father wanted me to reconnect with my Muslim roots." She said that when she became Miss USA, her words that she first spoke was, "I am first an American, an Arab American, a Lebanese American, a Muslim American." Just recently, Rima converted to the Christian faith and is going to marry a large music producer in Lebanon. Rima said, "My brother-in-law, my sister's kids are Christians and have been baptized into the Christian faith." She said, "My uncle converted from Muslim to Christianity and he's now a priest." I hear this story and I think about comings and goings and departures and arrivals and beginnings and endings and our scripture readings for tonight. And do you know why Rima came to faith in Jesus Christ? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed for her salvation. And somebody, a member of the church, gave testimony, shared the faith by which the gospel came into her life. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "Don't be troubled. In my Father's house there are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you. And when it's finished, I will come so that I can take you where I am, that where I am, there you may be also. And I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back like a scroll. The trumpet will sound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.